Well, tonight I'm going to be kicking off, and I thought the last month of July, you know, it's kind of like it leads up to what we have as Way Conference for our church, and we encourage a lot of people in July, even in August. You know, you've worked hard all year, you deserve a vacation, you should have a vacation. Don't have a vacation from God, but have a vacation. So what I did was I kicked off the month of July with one proverb, and the proverb was this: the prudent man sees danger and he takes refuge, but the simple man does nothing and suffers the consequences. And then Sharon said to me, that was such a good proverb. You ought to teach another proverb. And actually, there's 31 proverbs in the book of Proverbs, and there's 31 days to a month. For years and years and years, I've read a proverb a day. And so when you read a proverb a day for years and years and years, those proverbs get in you. So the next week, I taught another proverb, and this is that proverb. It goes, Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, how small is your strength? And our church was going, we're loving this. So we taught another proverb. It's the one I'm going to teach tonight. Proverbs 11, verse 25. And this is what it says. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I like to read another translation. It goes, a generous person will prosper, but he who refreshes others himself will be refreshed. A generous person will prosper. Can I tell you, in this day, in this age, in this era, in this culture, I want to encourage you that we got to lean in to generosity. We got to lean in to the teaching that God wants you blessed. Amen. We live in a generation today that is gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. Take, 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 my name's Jake. If your name is Jimmy or Jake, I apologize. Praise the Lord. You know, we live in a world where it's like this. That's enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? And I want to just break down this proverb. And the first thing I do is talk to you about generosity. By the way, I'm not too sure. You guys going to stay up all day? You good? How many think they are amazing? All I'm doing is I'm preaching. I'm listening to the music going, that's cool. I like that. And it's getting me distracted. Okay, number one, generosity. I want to be known and I want to be remembered for a lot of things, but one of the most important things that I think I could be known for, that I want to be known for, or I want to be remembered for, was he was generous. And I actually pray it's a mark of my life. I really do. And I believe that actually it's a word that in today's world we have got to rediscover. I believe it is the will of God. And I want to say this, generosity, this is my view on generosity. If you're going to be a long-term, strategic, generous person, you are deliberate, you're intentional. And what you do is you give out of your strength, you don't give away your strength. Some people say, why doesn't the church sell all its buildings and give it all to the poor? Well, that'd be great for today, but the poor will be here tomorrow. But if we sell everything, give it all to the poor, we'll have nothing to give them tomorrow. And so I actually had this idea of generosity is this. You don't give away your strength, you give out of your strength. I love what Simon Weil says. He says this, attention, I love this, is the rarest and the purest form of generosity. Attention, giving someone the time of day, stopping to talk to someone and have a conversation with them. Attention is the rarest and the purest form of generosity. Can I encourage us? Let's make sure we're interruptible. Let's not be so preoccupied with what God's called us to do that we walk right past the very people that God called us to stop and talk to. If you study the miracles of Jesus, you'll discover that over up to 90% of every miracle Jesus ever performed was a result of a direct or an indirect interruption. In other words, Jesus was walking when all of a sudden he goes, who touched me? And then he was walking and someone cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he stopped. Zacchaeus, as a short man, went up a tree and he stopped at the tree and said, I'm going to your house for dinner. Can I just encourage you to understand generosity? Sometimes it's just giving people the time of day, stopping, and you could actually be a part of a miracle if we will just be interruptible. I don't know who said this, but I'm going to claim it's mine. I've been saying it for so many years. The difference between prosperity and generosity, listen to this, sorry, the difference between prosperity and greed is generosity. How do I know if I'm prospering or if I'm greedy? And I've seen some greedy people take the message of prosperity and pervert it. And they've made it about themselves. And I don't want that. I want to make sure that I'm in a biblical way in which what generosity and prosperity is about. The difference between prosperity, how do I know if I'm prospering or if I'm greedy? The difference is generosity. If you make it all about you and everybody owes you and everybody's there for you, too many Christians think that God owes them, the church owes them, the government owes them, their boss owes them, other people owe them. You should give me a discount because I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, and therefore we should help each other. Can I tell you the difference between prosperity and greed is generosity. Amen? Come on, someone give the Lord a hand. I love what Winston Churchill says. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. I know Jesus teaches that, you know, whoever wants to be first should be last. I love that teaching. One of my favorite teachings of Jesus. He says, when you go into a banquet, whatever you do, don't try to take the most prominent seat in the banquet. Better you sit somewhere else and have someone bring you forward than sit in the most prominent seat and then be put at the back. I remember one time I was speaking at a conference, and it was the first time I ever spoke at the conference, and they sat me on the front row where the speakers would sit, and someone came up to me and says, excuse me, I don't know who you are, but you shouldn't be sitting here. I said, no problem at all. We'll sit anywhere you want. And I said, where would you like me to sit? We don't know, we don't care, but you can't sit there. And so there was no seats left in the whole building. We're up in the nosebleed section. And I loved it. Cheryl, I loved it because we're with all these young people. Well, then, of course, we're supposed to be speaking at the conference, so where's the speaker? Well, we were told to move, and we didn't know where to go. We just sat with all the young people. So Jesus said, that's a funny story. I love to tell that story. The guilty know who they are. Jesus said, hey, don't seek the most prominent. Don't. Whoever wants to be first should be last. But you know, there are some things that it's okay to aspire to be first on. Here's a few things I wrote down that I think will be good to aspire to be. Why don't you be the first to smile? And honestly, I mean this. There's a scripture in Revelation. It says, pray that God would anoint your eyes that you might see. It says actually, pray that God would anoint your eyes with eye salve. And I mean this. I read the story in the Bible where Moses' face shone with the glory of God. And I remember reading that going, God, I want that. I want your countenance. I want your presence. Lord, I want to have anointed eyes. God, I want to have an anointed smile. Why don't you be the first to smile in Jesus' name? Why don't you be the first to forgive? If we would just be first to forgive, how many know the world would be a whole lot better place? Why don't you be the first to give? Why don't you be the first to be kind? Why don't you determine, I'll be first. I'll be the first. Why don't you determine to be first in taking the high road? That in actual fact, you're not going to offend it. You're going to cut that person a bit of slack. You're going to give them a bit of a pass. And you're going to take the high road in Jesus' name. Why don't you be the first not to rush to judgment? How many think that would be generous? So how do we be generous? The Bible says the generous man will prosper. And he who refreshes others himself will be refreshed. Well, how do we be generous? I just recently, there was a lottery going for $1.2 billion. Now, in my life, I have brought 3 lottery tickets in my entire life. I do not trust in winning a lottery for my prosperity. Are you hearing me? I don't. But when it's $1.2 billion, what the heck? So I rang my daughter up. I said, Alyssa, why don't we do this? Why don't we go, whatever you want to buy. I noticed I got her to buy the tickets. Whatever you want to buy, just double it and I'll go in with you. And I said, here's what we'll do. If we win, the $1.2 billion, because I'm hearing all these people say what they would do with their money if they want it. I said, first thing we'll do is tithe. Amen. Second thing we'll do is we're going to pay off the mortgage at Wave Church, build a youth center. And then the third thing we're going to do is we're going to make sure that, you know, we're good. We'll take care of that. And I said, and then we'll be a blessing to Josh and Sam, which is her brothers. And Alyssa went, they're on their own, Dad. So I then thought, now I'm going to have to ring Josh. Josh, here's what we're going to do. I want you to buy some lottery tickets because you need to know your sister is not looking after you. So then I rang Sam. I said, Sam, here's what I want you to do. Sam, I need you to buy some tickets because your sister and your brother are not. And I heard people say, man, if I won the lottery, man, I'd give. If you are not giving now, you'll never give when you win the lottery. If you can't be faithful in the little things, you'll never be faithful over much. And too many people, when it comes to generosity, live on someday I'll. Someday I'll start giving. Someday I'll be generous. You've got to be faithful what God has given you now, and He'll bring increase. So how do I be generous? Because we talk ourselves out of it. If I had more, I'd do more. And we don't learn the way in which generosity starts. Maybe is this. Why don't you divert one expense? That expense of Netflix, Roku, do you really need it? Why don't you actually divert that expense and start giving that? Because you think if I had more, I'd give more. But why don't you just manage what you have now by diverting one expense? Here's another way you can actually be generous. Spend more time with generous people. Without a doubt, the person that's had the biggest impact on my life regards to generosity is sitting right here on the front row. His name's Casey Treat. I do not know a more generous man than Casey Treat. He has taught me generosity. And I don't just mean in regards to blessing me with maybe a shirt or a pair of pants. I mean with his words, with his time, with his attention right here. This guy, Rick Goldwyn. When Channel I first came to the United States, people didn't know who we were. We were, you know, Johnny Come Lately, and these guys rang us all the time. How's it going? What's going on? And I used to think, I can't believe they even know my name. I can't believe they're even talking to me. Can I encourage you? If you want to learn generosity, get around generous people. Amen? Proverbs 13, verse 20, he who walks with the wise shall grow wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. If you walk with generous people, I want to tell you, it will rub off on you. Come on, just turn the person next to you and say, he's preaching better than we're encouraging him. Come on. What do you do? How do you begin generosity? Start with something small. Just start with something small. Find a kingdom cause and a kingdom passion. Why don't you make this decision that you're going to live a little less extravagant? That in actual fact, I love this scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. Look at this. It says, for him who is joined to the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. I love that verse. Man, I love that verse. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Some people look like they're blessed, but they're not blessed. They've got all their money spoken for before their money comes in. If God told them to give $20, they wouldn't have $20 to give. They're up to their nostrils in debt. That's a dead lion. Your car payment could be a dead lion. Your house payment could be a dead lion. It looks good. You look like you got it all going on. But the truth is, a living dog is better than a dead lion. A living dog, even if it's a shih tzu, a chihuahua is still better than a dead lion. At least the little dog's going to bark and you know someone's coming in. The dead lion's dead. It looks like a lion, but it's dead. And some people are driving around in this dead lion stuff and they don't have any means to begin to journey into generosity. Better a living dog. I love this thought. The generous man will prosper. And I want you to notice prosperity is not what you have. It's what you have left after you've paid your bills. Prosperity is not hedonism. He with the most toys wins. The Bible says the generous man will prosper. Well, when you think about that, you would think that's so counterculture to the world in which we live. Because the world in which we live wants to prosper, but they do not see the means to prosperity as generosity. Because generosity means I give. What I have, I give, I share. But if you're just making life all about you, giving means you have less. But the Bible teaches me a generous man will prosper. Amen? And I want you to think about this because, like I said, some people look like they're blessed, but they don't have $20 to give to anybody. They've got a dead lion. And prosperity is not just what you have. It's across your whole life. In other words, your marriage is blessed and prospering. Your relationship with your family is prospering. What's coming out of your mouth is prospering. You've got a prosperous soul. You've got a prosperous spirit. You believe in the middle of what we won't even call a recession, that God can bless you. And He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And you're not holding back. You're not backing down. You believe God can bless you in famine. And you can sow in famine. And God can bless you. He can find you. Prosperity is your family love you. Prosperity is you get on with your neighbors. Prosperity is the way you think. Look at this scripture here. I love this scripture. 3 John. It says, Beloved, I wish above all things. This is God speaking, by the way. And He goes, Beloved, I wish above all things. If God could wish anything above all things, this would be it. This is God talking. And He goes, I wish above all things that you what? Prosper. It wasn't Kenneth Hagin who said that. It wasn't Kenneth Copeland who said that. It's in the Word of God. God wants you to prosper and be in good health. Even, I put it in the King Jimmy because it sounds so much more anointed. Look at this. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. Prospereth. Everybody say prospereth. Beloved, I wish above everything else that you prosper. God wants you to prosper. It's in the Bible. Amen. And listen, it says prosper and be in good health. Well, not a whole lot of point in prospering if you don't have your health. Amen. I've seen plenty of people, and I'm telling you, you don't really value your health until you face a health challenge. And then you suddenly realize it's pretty important. And the Bible says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and good and be in good health. Listen, even as your soul prospers. That's telling me the level of prosperity and health you have is directly connected to how well your soul's doing. Now, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Did you hear that? Your soul is your mind. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Is your soul prospering? Money doesn't grow on trees. I could never see me doing that. I don't know that I'd ever be able to do that. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. We can never afford that vacation. We can never, that would never happen in our city. We can never build a church like that. Our people just don't give. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and you be in good health, even as your soul prospers. 23 years ago, Sharon and I came to Virginia Beach. There was a very old, tired. It wasn't that old, to tell you the truth, but it was a very tired building. And it had flat floor, had columns in it. True story. Over on this wall was the men's restroom, and this is the stage. And over on that wall was the women's restroom. The only restrooms in the entire auditorium for everybody was stage left, stage right. So anytime some poor person had to go, to relieve themselves, everybody knew where they were going. It was the walk of shame. And I would stand on this stage and go, dear God, we got to tear this building down and we got to build something a lot bigger. I mean, true story, you would have, if you plugged in a coffee pot in the lobby, the entire lobby would black out. An electrician thought he'd bless the church by doing all the wiring. He didn't bless the church. He ripped the church off. And I'm telling you, I just remember going, we're going to tear this down. And I stood here and I stood on the property and I said, we're going to tear this down. We're going to build Wave Convention Center. We're going to have Seaboard Road. We're going to have a campus in Norfolk. We're going to have a campus in every city that we could ever God put in my heart. And we're going to believe God to be blessed, and we're going to be blessed to be a blessing. And I got to tell you, there's been Y2K. Everyone's talking about it's the end of the world. The economy's going, everything's going to crash. And I'm going, let's believe God to pay off the mortgage on the debt on Seaboard Road. And in 1 year, we raised the finances to pay off the mortgage, burn the note. Our church suddenly go, wow, this is awesome. I said, let's build a building. We built our children's center. We built convention center. We bought Norfolk and paid cash for it. We pay cash for Seaboard Road. We own the building on Seaboard Road debt-free. We own our Norfolk campus debt-free. We're now in North Carolina, and we've got the equivalent of being debt-free. We got a campus in Richmond worth $6 million given to us. How did all that happen? I want to tell you, it's connected to what's going on in your mind. It's in your will. If your soul isn't prospering, you won't see those things. Listen, the generous man will prosper. It is the will of God for you to prosper. Come on, somebody. Get the revelation. Look at this, Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. The Lord will make you, what? The, and not the, if you pay attention to the commands the Lord your God has given you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the, and never at the, a lot of good stuff happening at the head. A lot of good stuff. There's vision at the head. There's sight at the head. There's speech at the head. There's taste at the head. There's smell, which is not always a blessing, at the head. There's hearing at the head. Hopefully, there's some brains at the head. Not a whole lot of exciting stuff happening at the tail. And God has made you and God has made me. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and you be in good health, but it's directly connected to how well your soul is prospering. And I want to encourage you tonight, the generous man will prosper in the name of Jesus. Joshua chapter 1, be strong and very, I feel like we need to talk about this in today's culture. We're living in a world of lack, and oh, I can't afford the price of gas. I am not being insensitive to the increased cost of life. But can I tell you, God will find you and God can bless you wherever you are. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider, and he will supply your needs according to his riches and his glory, not according to who the president is, not according to the Nikkei Dow, not according to the stock market. He is the God of abundance. Be strong and courageous in Joshua. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be what? That's in the Bible. God wants you to be successful. It's in the Bible. Some people, I don't want to be successful, I want to be a failure. Well, guess what? You're successful in your journey. It says you'll be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night that you may be careful to do everything that is written in. Watch. Then you will be successful and you will be prosperous. It doesn't say, God doesn't say, I'll do it for you. He goes, if you do this, you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way successful. Come on. The generous man. Listen to this, prosperous. Amen? You will be prosperous. You will be successful. Let me finish with this thought. The generous man prospers, and he who refreshes others himself will be refreshed. Again, that's counter to the world, counterculture. We would think, well, the way in which we get refreshed is don't be giving what we have to someone else because we'll have less. The generous man will prosper. And the Bible said, he who refreshes others. I love that story of Jesus with the woman at the well, don't you? You ever read that, John chapter 4? And the Bible says Jesus was so tired from his journey, he sat down. And it says the disciples went in to buy food. Who's ever got to a point where you're so tired, you just go, I can't take another step? That's where Jesus got. And he sits at this well and he sends the dirty dozen in to bring food back to him. I'm done. I'm sitting here. I'm exhausted. And they were worried. And they went in the town. They brought food. And Jesus now talks to this woman at the well. Could you please give me a drink? And she goes, what are you doing talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman. And he goes, well, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd be asking me for water. And then she has this debate and conversation about where we're supposed to worship. And then by the end of the conversation, Jesus says, go get your husband. And she goes, I don't have a husband. Jesus goes, that's right, you've had five. And the one you're living with now, he's not your husband either. And she goes, I see that you're a prophet. And then, listen to this. This woman is fired up. She goes, come see a man. He's told me everything I've ever done. I think he's the Son of God. I think it's the Messiah. And the Bible says the disciples come back and they implored him, Master, please eat. Remember how they left him? He's at the well. He's exhausted. You get McDonald's, you bring it back to me. Get the Chick-fil-A. It wasn't a Sunday. And they come back and they say, Master, eat. And Jesus says, now listen, he who refreshes others will himself will be refreshed. And Jesus says to them, I have meat to eat you know nothing about. He's energized. He's up again. The very thing that tired him, like you talked about today, was doing the will of God. And yet the very thing that refreshed him was to keep doing the will of God even when he was exhausted. I have meat to eat. And then the poor disciples are going, okay, who fed him? They don't know what someone, okay, who fed him? It wasn't us. And Jesus said something that I love. My meat, my strength, my refreshment, my sustenance, my energy comes by doing the will of God. And some of us in today's world with COVID have talked ourselves out of serving. And if you're not serving, you're swerving. If you're not serving, you'll never know what it is to be refreshed by heaven. I want to encourage you, get back on. He who refreshes others themselves will be refreshed. I love this thought. Listen to it. A generous person will prosper. He who refreshes others themselves will be refreshed. See, in the world, it kind of works like this. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's not what God's talking about. You look after me, I'll look after you. That's not what God says. When you refresh other people, I see it. And because you do that, I've got your back. I'll refresh you. Come on. Listen to Proverbs 19, verse 7. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they've done. Do you realize when you refresh others, when you are kind to the poor, that God in that moment looks and says, I owe you. A businessman, imagine saying, God's on my list of people who owe me. God says, I will indebt myself to you. I saw what you did. You refreshed others. Now I'll refresh you. I want to encourage you. Listen to this. I want you to catch this. He who refreshes others himself will be refreshed. And here's the problem. We live in a world where we want more money, less hours. We want more. We want more time off. Are you hearing me? We want more handouts. We want greater conditions. We want out what we want. But the Bible says if you will determine in your life to be someone who refreshes others, God will refresh you. And I love this because it shows it in the scripture. Abraham was in his day, without a doubt, one of, if not the richest man in the world in his day. And Abraham was blessed. And God said, I'll bless you to be a blessing. And I love it because when Abraham is really old, he has a son called Isaac who is not yet married. He realizes that the promise God gave him to be the father of many nations was based upon Isaac getting a wife and having kids. He can't be the father of many nations if his son didn't get married. And so he says to his number one most loyal servant, I need you to go find a wife for my son. How many are glad we don't live in that day? I do not want my parents or my parents' friends picking my wife. Can anybody say amen? So The servant, who was a good servant, the senior servant, is now on a journey to find a wife for Isaac. Genesis 24. He prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today. Show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming up to draw water. May it be when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar and may I have a drink. And she says, I'll give you a drink and I'll water the camels too. Let her be the one that you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I'll know you've shown kindness to my master. So he goes, God, I got this idea. I'm going to find a woman. I'm going to ask her for a drink. And then without me asking anything else, not only will she give me a drink, she'll water the camels as well. Now, how many know camels drink a lot of water? I wanted 40 gallons. And he had not just one or two camels. He had camels. And he says, I'm not going to ask her to do this. I'm going to see to it that if she offers to do it, then I know she's the one. She's the one that'll go above and beyond. So look at the story here. It says, before he'd finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. And she was the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. And the woman was very beautiful, and she was a virgin. I wonder how many of those are around today. Just thought out loud. And in case you don't know what a virgin is, no man has ever slept with her. She went down to the spring and she filled a jar and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a drink of water, a little water from your jar. Drink, my Lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar from her hands and gave him a drink. And then after she'd given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too. Watch, until they've had enough to drink. She didn't just give him a taste of water. She gave every camel enough water until they couldn't drink anymore. Did you see it? And without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. Can I tell you, he who refreshes others, himself will be refreshed. She literally ended up marrying Isaac, who was the son to Abraham, the richest man in the world. Little did that girl know that that one act of refreshing someone, that one act of just offering to water camels would actually bring her into a place that was beyond her wildest imagination. Come on, somebody. Who are you refreshing? What about Ruth and Naomi? I love this one. Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. Everybody say Boaz. Ruth and Naomi had hard economic times. Ruth lost her husband. Naomi was the mother-in-law, and she lost her husband. And Ruth says, I'm hanging out with Naomi. And then they go back to where Naomi's from, and what happens is they face hard economic times. And God blesses Naomi's agricultural labor by picking up leftovers to feed herself and her mother-in-law. Listen to this. The leftovers. This is when the harvesters have been and brought in the harvest. She would then go into a field and pick up what they left behind. And I'll just, whatever they leave behind, I'll take care of me and I'll take care of Naomi. Everybody catch this? And Boaz was generous and he was managing his resources and he sees Ruth's willingness to work. Now, here's the problem in today's culture. You see, God's faithfulness underlies human productivity. But people have to do the work. Come on, somebody. This was God's plan from the beginning. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, we should take care of those who genuinely can't work. But I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people out there think, I need to get paid more money or I won't work. And I want to tell you, here is Ruth picking up the leftovers. This is not minimum wage, friends. This is leftovers. Well, it got very quiet. Ruth was eager to work to support herself and Naomi. Listen to what she said. Let me go into the field, she implored. And when she'd given a chance to work, listen, her co-workers reported she'd been on her feet early in the morning until now without resting even for a moment. What do your co-workers say about your work ethic? What do they have to say about you? She was exceptionally productive. When she came back home after the first day of work, she beat out the barley from the stalks, and a harvest yielded a full ephah of grain, which is the amount of 5 gallons of barley. Both God and Boaz commended and rewarded her for her faith and her industry. Amen? Ruth was refreshing her mother-in-law, and little did she know that the field she worked in was Boaz, who ends up marrying her and taking care of the mother-in-law. Everybody say Boaz. But let me tell you something. You want to wait for your Boaz. Boaz has got some really bad relatives. Let me tell you a few of the relatives that Boaz has. Boaz has Brokaz as an uncle. He's got Poraz, Lionaz, Cheapaz. Somebody say, I've dated that ass. He's got dumb ass, drunk ass. He's got locked up ass. He's got lazy ass, good for nothing ass, and beat your ass. You gotta wait for your Boaz and make sure he respects your ass. And you think you're gonna find your partner in a nightclub? No, no, no. Work and believe that God will bless you and he can find you and the game will come to you. God can find you. If you are willing to put in the work, the generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others, themself will be refreshed. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. What are you watering? Are you watering your marriage? Are you watering your church? Are you watering it? Are you watering your wife, your kids? Are you giving them time and attention? Are you watering God's house? Are you watering life-giving relationships? I want to be known as someone who's generous. And I want to show and I want to give honor where honor is due. When was the last time you consciously made an effort to really be a blessing to someone else? We want others to refresh us. And as long as we hear that, but we don't understand, the key to being refreshed is being a refreshing to someone else. What are you watering? Who are you watering? I've always said the grass is greener on the other side of the hill. I've discovered the grass is green where I water it. And God can find you if in the middle and the backside of a desert. Oh, if I just moved over here, life would be so much better. If I just didn't marry that person, if I could just be on that stage, if I could just be in that church, if I could just earn this much money, the generous man prospers. And he who refreshes others themselves will be refreshed. Give the Lord a hand if you receive the word. Come on, singers, musicians. Where are they? Where's all their musicians and singers? Are they out back having a cigarette? What are they doing? Oh, there they are. Dumbass. How many love Sam? Sam is preaching for us this Sunday morning. It will be the first time he's ever preached on a Sunday morning at Wave Church. I couldn't get him to preach, but now since he's gone to Fellowship Church, he's answered the call. So proud of you, Sam. So, so proud of you. Sam and Laurie have 2 little boys, Thunder and Dodge. They are appropriately named. Don't listen to this message and go, I need to be refreshed. Listen to this message and go, who can I refresh? Don't listen to this message and go, I want to prosper. Listen to this message and go, I need to be more generous. Don't make this message the receiving end. It's better to give than it is to receive. Can anybody say amen? I think in today's generation and today's climate, this is a great problem for each and every one of us today. Let's be generous. Let's take the high road. Let's not be divided. Someone say amen. Let's be unifiers. Let's be healers. Let's be reconcilers. Let's be bigger than the culture of this world that demands that everybody picks a side. I'm not on anyone's side. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm a kingdom man. Can anybody say amen? I want to pray for us tonight. That message spoke to you. I'm talking to Christians, right? I know my audience. And that message spoke to you. Said, I need to hear that. I need to make sure I'm really strategic and intentional and deliberate about being generous. I want to, maybe right now you're just thinking, I don't know, I'm a bit tired. Maybe it's just a good time for me to sit down and have a rest. Maybe for some it is that, by the way. I'm all about that. Don't get me wrong. But don't talk yourself out of the very thing, doing the will of God that refreshes you, just because of a moment in your humanity, if you just kept on doing it. Because I love it. Jesus wasn't going another step. But when they come back, he's going, let's go. The only difference is he kept talking to people. He was refreshment to her. I can't tell you sometimes when I just felt, that's it, I'm done. Especially as a youth pastor. I love youth pastors. Dear God, do I love youth pastors. I know what it's like to, I mean, there are some deacon-possessed churches. And I know what it's like to have deacons stand me up and tell me everything I did wrong from the night before on a Sunday morning after youth. One time we left tea bags in a teapot. And you would have thought I shook hands with the devil. And this deacon was just yelling at me. And I looked at him. I went, I don't know what I can do that would be right. I don't know what I could do. And I just went, God, I quit. I love you with all my heart. But dear God, I'm talking to a girl who's thinking about committing suicide. I'm talking to a guy who took drugs for the first time in his life. I'm talking to someone who wants to leave their family. And they're worried about a tea bag in a teapot. I said, God, this is too hard. I'll never forget what God said. Never, ever. Well, I was literally, my pillow was soaked with tears. I said, I love you, but your sheep bite. And I said, God, I can't handle this anymore. And God said to me, son, I called you to be a bridge between me and people. I said, God, I felt like people walk over me. He said, son, you'll never be a bridge unless you let people walk on you. I said, God, what if they get in the middle of the bridge and they're not walking across? They're just standing on the middle of the bridge, jumping up and down, swaying side to side. Let's see if we can break him. I'll never forget what God said to me. Son, your shoulders are strong. I've built you and I made you and you will last. I want to tell you that word has sustained me and has kept me serving God and kept me in love with God and in love with people. And I believe even tonight, God wants to refresh you. I believe God wants to touch you tonight. But you got to determine, I'm not going to swerve. I'm going to serve. Can someone say amen? Let's all stand to our feet. You've been sitting down for 35 minutes. Praise. Turn to the person next to you and say, he was talking to someone else. It wasn't for you.